Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the ALS Association podcast. My name is Tony Heil, the Director of Communications here at the ALS Association Greater Philadelphia Chapter. If you've listened to past podcasts at www.alsphiladelphia.org/podcasts or on iTunes at ALS Philadelphia, then you'll have heard people with ALS, you'll have heard people involved in Walk to Defeat ALS teams, advocates and researchers and patient services staff, covering a wide range of topics for people living with ALS or affected by it, or just interested since last year's Ice Bucket Challenge. One of the people that is not just interested since last year, but has been involved for a long time, is my guest today and his wife, Barry Schultz and Susan Schultz. They are from Haddon Heights, New Jersey, and I'm not going to give out the whole address, but that's enough. And Barry is living with ALS, and they've been very involved with a lot of our activities here at the chapter. And today's discussion is going to specifically talk about our upcoming ALS Express bike ride. And before we get into our discussion, just let you know, you can register for the ride at www.als-express.org or contact us at alsphiladelphia.org for more information. It's the best bike ride in the area. It's noted by Philadelphia Magazine, but one of the reasons one of the best rides is because of our guests today, Barry and Sue. So, Barry, Sue, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting us.
Well, you invited me. I'm at your house. So, tell me a little bit about yourselves and tell me your whole life story in less than 30 seconds. you've been living with ALS for a few years, and people don't know much about your connection if they're listening for the first time.
I was diagnosed with ALS in 2006, so I'm over a little over 9 years with, living with ALS. I think that's an important part to say. I mean, I am living with ALS. I have stayed with my lovely wife, Susan, for almost 38 years. We have three daughters, two son-in-laws, and a grandson.
And here in their house, they have a lot of toys, which I assume are their grandsons.
Correct. Yes, absolutely correct.
And so you were diagnosed in 2006. But did it take a while to get diagnosed, as it happens with others?
It took me probably over a year before I got diagnosed, probably.
And what were, so, are you just not feeling well? Or
what were my symptoms? I had weakness of my right arm.
Mm-hmm.
I would have bet my house, my daughters, my wife, that it was herniated disc. So, evaluated by a neurosurgeon who's a University of Penn doctor now, Stephen Dante. And he wasn't, some of my symptoms didn't fit in the herniated disc part. So, he referred me to Dr. McCluskey. And unfortunately, the diagnosis was ALS. So. Mm-hmm.
And for either of you, had you known much about ALS before then, or even during that time when you were looking around at what was going on?
No. I mean, Sue's a nurse, so maybe she knew more about it, but you know, you hear about Lou Gehrig, but mm-hmm. Do you really know how he suffered from the disease or what it did? No, I did not know anything about ALS to that point.
And I think that's pretty normal because it's not the most common disease. And honestly, any disease, people don't necessarily know a whole lot. I'm sure if you ask someone what's cancer like,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be able to give you a lot of information.
Absolutely right, Tony.
So you didn't know what to prepare for on your end. And Sue, as a nurse, did you have any – what was your reaction at the time?
Well, at first I felt that he was misdiagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
So we went down to Johns Hopkins for a second opinion and, you know – Dr. McCluskey said, you know, take your records and take all your information and see, you know, what they have to say. He said, I hope that they, you know, prove me wrong. But when we went down there, we saw Dr. Rothstein and he agreed that, you know, that was Barry's diagnosis. So I kind of just felt that in the beginning, you know, it was like total denial that, you know, he was either misdiagnosed or this wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always there's always that hope that, you know, it's not what they're telling you it is.
And so before then, with the issues going on, and since then, hopefully Barry's been a good patient. And you know about people who are good patients or not as a nurse.
Yeah.
So hopefully you've been able to help out. Sue's been good.
She's been great, yeah. But I'm lucky. I don't need a lot of – I don't really need to have any needs right now. You know, I'm really lucky.
Well, we hope to continue that good luck.
So do I, yes.
How quickly did you get involved with the chapter? Because you went to the ALS Association Certified Clinic at Pennsylvania Hospital,
mm-hmm.
hooked up with a lot of people there in 2006. So did you get involved pretty quickly?
Immediately. The gym we go to had a sign hanging up a bench. She goes, there's a brochure about some ALS bike ride. And I'm like, oh, really? I said, we probably can't make it. I was diagnosed in March, and the bike ride was in June.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the brochure for the bike ride, the ALS Express bike ride, and we said, I think we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So within a matter of a month, we got a team together, Barry's Bikers, and our first year we had about 24 riders.
That's pretty cool. So your first ALS Express was in 2006?
Yeah, so mm-hmm. this is our 10th ride. I've been diagnosed 9 years, but I was able to get one in the first year I was diagnosed, so this is our 10th time riding.
And so I've seen you every one I've gone to, obviously, and this will be my fourth, I think, that I've gone to,
mm-hmm.
or third. And so you guys have great shirts every year. You have a special one commemorating your 10th year.
Well, we think so, yeah.
We're working on it.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I have a design team that works on that. My daughter's an architect. She went to Philadelphia University. She has a couple of her friends that are fashion designers.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have a design team that designs our shirts every year. So I'm lucky.
So as a first-time person getting involved with the ride, what was it like, your first experience, both in terms of signing up for it? Had you done anything like that, getting people to donate?
We never did anything like that ever. You know, I've done some runs before back in the day, but nothing like that. And I don't even think back then you could sign up online. I think it was all mail it in.
Wow.
10 years ago.
It's hard to think about.
I don't remember. I think that's how it was back then. I don't
mm-hmm.
remember. It may have been online, but it's not the website it is now. Let's put it that way.
Well, again, the website is ALS-express.org, and you do all your registration online. Almost all of
everything.
The stuff that comes
everything.
In online.
Yep.
Yeah,
everything.
There's a lot less money and stuff collected
yep.
day
exactly.
of.
Exactly, yep. Donations online. You can send emails out to your riders and former donate people who may have made donations. You can send emails to them to re-solicit them for donations again. Everything's through that website. It's a great website to do all that.
Great. So what did you do then to be successful for your first ride? And hopefully you've grown, because you only had a few weeks that first time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've grown. Our team now averages anywhere from 45 to 60 members a year now.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and I'm very fortunate. I have a lot of family, friends, coworkers, former coworkers that have been donating for me for 10 years, and I'm lucky. We raise a lot of money for the ALS Association, who needs a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we all know about the Ice Bucket Challenge, and it's funny, you look back now, well, who's doing Ice Bucket Challenges now? I know the weather's cold, you know, but who's doing them now? We raise hundreds of millions of dollars, but like Dr. McCluskey, who's my neurologist at the ALS clinic, said, it's not $100 million fix.
Right.
So we need all these funds from events like this to come in and make patient, and this bike rides for ALS research. We need money like this coming in every year for the research, not just $100 million in 1 year.
Mm-hmm. And you've gone to some research conferences. I've been with you at a couple of them learning about stuff. So I'm sure you've learned a lot about what's going on since that first one.
There's a lot. They're making some earmarks on a lot of different ways you get ALS, and do you have it because your family members have it? Do you have the gene? And I'm lucky. They don't think I had the gene. I had the one test done, but the other test is very expensive. So, but they don't think it's a gene thing. I'm one of those persons that we don't know how we got it.
And you don't have any history of ALS in your family?
No, none at all. No.
But so from that ride, and then from a lot of other events, you've been in touch with a lot of families in our area. Right?
Yes, a lot, yeah.
One of the things that I've been told from a lot of our families is that community is one of the biggest things they get from the chapter, is connecting with other ALS families or volunteers or friends that maybe they wouldn't have hooked up with before. Has that been helpful?
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah.
We've met other patients. You know, I've met some younger former service people who've been in the armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
A lot younger than me, they've had ALS as long as me, and you're doing as well as I am, so that's a good thing. I've also met patients who aren't doing as well as I am
mm-hmm.
doing. We've also unfortunately met patients who have since deceased since I've been diagnosed. But we've had great support from other families. I've met other ALS patients. I call them the fraternity. We always joke and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of them say, how you doing? And you're still status quo. They say, good, and they are too. So we're very fortunate. We've met a lot of great people through that.
Right, so that's one of the things you can get from the bike ride. It's not just that it's a fun ride, but you can make a lot of good friends along the way.
Exactly, yes. And it's funny, the bike ride, I've had people who I went to high school with to come back and ride with me. I've met, you know, had people who I used to work with do the bike ride. I had present guys I work with to do the bike ride and their families. I even had a teacher from high school who found out I had ALS through another friend of mine who does the ride and has made donations. So I've been out of high school for quite a few years now, and it's funny how those people come back. It's not funny. It's amazing how people, you know, you don't know you've made an impact on them years ago when you were a high school student, but they donate because they know they need the funds to make your job, you know, to fight the ALS easier than you wouldn't have.
So you get a lot of people involved with the ride, and yes. Just like yourself, I imagine that a lot of them don't know much about the disease. Even the people Absolutely. That you have been involved for a while, so you've spent a lot of time educating them and getting them yeah. to understand what's going on.
Yeah. Exactly, you hate to say you're lucky because of the state I'm in, but I don't need a lot of services. I don't really show that I really have ALS. I still go to work every day. I still referee basketball every winter. So I'm very fortunate that I don't need a lot of services. But, yeah, we educate our friends, and a lot of our friends go to a lot of different events. You know, we do other fundraisers, and they see firsthand what's looking me in the eye.
So let's talk about ALS Express, the ride. And it's changed through the years, right? It's Correct. Not exactly the same as it was then.
Correct.
So what was it like the first ride? Because now there's more riders. There's over 1,000 people that'll be there, and I know that's been a big growth over the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. What was the first one like for you?
It was hectic because you're running to get there. We don't really sure where we had to go. We get to and then waiting for all your riders to come from your team. But it was a great ride. I mean, we had a great day the first time. I said we had 25 riders, and I think most of our riders ride the 25-mile ride, and but we had a great time. I mean, you end up in Wildwood on the boardwalk. We have a great picnic afterwards. It's a great thing. But it's changed, like you said. The distances have changed. They've added a 10-mile ride because of a bunch of younger people wanted younger kids to ride, so they added a 10-mile ride.
Yeah, I'm not a younger kid. I would do the 10-mile ride. Yeah. The 10-mile sounds a lot to me.
But like I said, we become
popular.
We have members of our team do the 75. We have members do the 50.
25 and 10.
25-mile ride and the 10-mile ride. And I guess we'll talk about a little bit of experiences. I used to do the 50-mile ride. And unfortunately, now it's my son-in-law, and he wasn't at the time. We hit tires, and I fell and fractured my elbow. I was about 38, 40 miles into the ride, so my wife has told me you can't ride 50 anymore because you would have been done. You wouldn't have fractured your elbow. So,
that's a benefit of marrying a nurse.
Yeah, I know.
So if you're out there, one of the pieces of advice is marry a nurse and things will go well. It's always good to be in
and allow somebody that wasn't your son-in-law to marry your daughter even though he hit you. Yeah. So,
the end point is one of the highlights of the day.
Absolutely.
You get to spend unlimited rides at Maury's Piers right there in Wildwood, New Jersey, and go and take your family and all the riders. Do you guys head out to Maury's Piers after the ride's done?
Usually our kids do. We haven't really taken advantage of that.
But your kids have a lot of fun there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they always have a nice picnic for us at the end and feed us. And we can, you know, obviously take advantage of that. And it's always very, very nice, you know, everything that the Maury family provides that day. Yeah. So it's a great end of the ride event that they sponsor.
As parents and grandparents now, I'm sure it's really fun to know that, like, you're going to be able to create this really positive and enjoyable experience for your kids. Mm-hmm. That right there, there's Maury's Piers for all this fun stuff for them after the ride. So it's all around the whole day of positivity, right? Because you get all the people, your friends and family that come together for the ride and support you and the cause. And then they get to have fun for the rest of the day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you're exhausted for the next day, right?
Yeah. Well, the more we ride, the easier it is. But yeah, and it's funny. I have fellows that I work with, and they go down. They enjoy it so much. They go down 2 days early and get a place in Wildwood and stay from Thursday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much they enjoy going down there. But you know, the Maury Pier makes great donation, and every rider gets 2 free passes to go on the rides till they close that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great experience. And we have so many riders on our team. We have plenty of bands for all of our friends and family who are there want to go on the rides or go to the pier. And it's a great experience. It's a great ride. I don't think you're going to find, and as Tony said, it's in Philadelphia Magazine, any other event, a bike ride that ends and has this ending where you end at the beach in Wildwood, You get to do all the rides and get lunch. I don't think there's many bike rides that do that.
Right. So, I mean, there's a few really cool charity bike rides in the Philadelphia area, but to have all that with it, even if you don't have an ALS connection, it's a great
Exactly. Thing. And there's a whole team that comes out of Dan Seisen and Quigley. They're professional bike riders.
Mm-hmm.
They do it and show up and get a quick snack and turn around and go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're doing 150 for the day, and there's a couple teams. Lockheed Martin puts a team in, and they come and ride, and they do it just for the ride. And those are the competitive bikers. They're the people that before I start the 25 mile mark, they've already passed me.
Yeah, I've seen them. I'm usually at the end point with the cheerleaders, and I see them, and they just come in so casually, like, "Yep, we're done." And I would be exhausted. Yeah. Like I said, the 10 mile sounds like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but registration does increase for cost on May 1st. So people can still join your team, right?
Correct. Yep.
Go to als-express.org and join Barry's Bikers or one of the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see a lot of friends there.
We hope you join our team because it's our 10th year riding. So we're looking to have a lot of people ride this year with our team. So
that's a pretty good reason. I mean, if you're going to go down for fun, and Barry's been, he can tell you all about the rides and everything like that, the starting points, the end points, and everything in between. So have you guys had any, you've had the bad parts of falling the one time, but that wasn't your fault. We'll blame everyone except for you. But have you had some really cool experiences riding along the trails?
Last year was probably the best because we had a tailwind. So it was great. It was an easy ride.
Oh, good.
But we've ridden in pouring rain, we've ridden in headwinds, we've ridden in the sun.
I thought you were about to say the snow.
No, I almost said the snow. We had so much snow. We've ridden in the sun. It's been great. It's been cool sometimes, but we've done it all except for snow.
Well, we can almost guarantee no snow.
We always pray for sunny weather and a tailwind, which is nice, but.
So, in the process of getting ready for the ride, and then for other events like the Walk to Defeat ALS, which you guys do in November at the Greater Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Park, and other things, you guys spend a lot of time asking people to donate. And what's that like in terms of when people want to join? Does that lift your spirits? Is it really cool getting these new supporters who give up? Because they don't have to give, you know?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. They could give $10 and maybe they give $100 or hopefully tens of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that experience like for you guys as asking for money?
Well, I think it's rewarding to me because, like I said before, I've had old high school teachers donate, you know, former coworkers. I have friends from California donate. My daughter works in California and her company made a very nice donation last year. I have friends, and I'll throw an advertisement out. I'm friends with the general manager of Burns Honda and they make a very nice team donation. So it's very rewarding to people who keep coming back every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm lucky most of my sponsors come back and make a donation every year. And it's rewarding. I mean, I have people, Suzanne Uncle from California always make a donation, her cousins from California. I have donations from the East Coast to the West Coast, and it's rewarding the people that just step up and don't even know who I am and make a donation. I'm really blessed. I'm really lucky and I'm blessed that these people do that for me and other patients for ALS because the money goes not just to me. It goes to all those people in the association.
And so one of the things that's really you want to encourage is just ask people, right? If you're a first-time rider – and if you ask, you never know what people will do.
Exactly.
Even if they can't donate, they might volunteer or ask other people for money. So I guess our advice would be to just ask others and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we have an old friend who we know from years ago who lives in Wildwood, North Wildwood now. She goes, "I volunteer every year for that bike ride." And she tells us where she is. We make the turn off the bridge. So now we stop and give her a hug every year because she volunteers now. She goes, "I didn't know you did that ride."
See, those professional riders wouldn't beat you if you didn't stop and get everyone hugs along the way.
Yeah.
But that's a good reason to come to the ride, too. You can get free hugs.
You can't
get that any other ride.
I mean, and it's a safe ride. And if there's any major intersection, I don't know how the ALS Association does it, but they actually have state police that actually block one of the major roads we have to cross Route 40. It's amazing the support we have, and there's vehicles. There are a couple sponsors who still offer support vehicles. I think Dan Seisen and Quigley. I think it's Wheelies, too.
Mm-hmm.
They offer support for the bikes on the ride. And we've had numerous members of our team that needed that support, whether it's flat tires, chains coming off their bike, whatever, and they're right there to help you and support you.
Yeah, with hundreds of bikes on the road, there's going to be one issue or another, so making it safe is of utmost importance.
And it's a very safe bike ride, and of course you can't ride without a helmet, and I'm glad I had one on when I fell, because I may not be here today to talk about it, because...
Well, if you didn't have a helmet on, I think that your wife would probably not say nice things at the very least.
So, you know, people say, oh, do I really need a helmet? Yeah, you really do need a helmet. You need to be there. You need to ride safe. So
speaking of people who've donated, I want to thank some of our sponsors, especially Maurice Piers, like we mentioned, Venture Construction Group. Thank them for their support, and Gold Gerstein Group, LLC. And then there's a lot of other people who are sponsoring and helping out this year. But we want to give a shout out to those great sponsors for this year's ride. Of course, the ride is just one thing that you do, the ALS Express bike ride to defeat ALS. But you guys get involved all year round. I don't think there's a month that you're not doing something with the chapter. I know you're doing a lot in May. You do hot chocolate. So tell me a little about what else you do with the chapter during the year.
Well, we support many of the functions that the ALS Philadelphia chapter sponsor, such as the walk and hot chocolate. This is the first year that we're actually going to go to Washington for the advocacy. We've gone to Trenton to speak to different representatives, trying to get support and money for funding for research and for other things that are needed for ALS. And so we're looking forward to that this year, to go down to Washington and get a little more involved in that aspect.
Well, I'm excited for you guys to come down, because that's my thing. And
we go to the Phillies Festival every year that the Phillies host for to raise money for ALS, and they raise close to $1 million in one day there, which is great.
And to be fair, the Phillies spend pretty much 364 days getting ready for that one day. Except for leap years, when they spend 365 to get ready for that day. And it's great that they can do that. And this year's festival is on June 1st. Looking forward to another really fun and sunny day with the Phillies. So you've had something going on every month, it seems. What's your experience with the walk? Because your main focus is the bike ride.
Correct, yes.
But you like going to the walk too. Part of the reason for the bike ride is more fun for you guys is that the weather's warmer. But what's it like walking around Citizens Bank Park and the thousands of people that come up for that event?
There's thousands of people there.
That's a great time. That's really grown. We've seen that grow.
We've seen that really
a lot over the past five years or so.
And last year, the Greater Philadelphia Chapter walked to defeat ALS. That raised over $700,000. It was our biggest walk of our seven walks. And you can join a walk team for this year at www.gpcwalktodefeatals.org. That's GPC for Greater Philadelphia Chapter. And even though that the Greater Philadelphia Walk in Citizens Bank Park isn't until November, you can sign up for any one of our other six walks in Bloomsburg and Lakewood, New Jersey, and Hershey, Pennsylvania, coming up in the spring, and then in Ocean City, Rehoboth Beach, and Lehigh Valley and Greater Philadelphia in the fall. You can sign up for all of those now at gpcwalktodefeatals.org. But you don't have to wait. You guys don't wait until the last minute to sign up for any of your teams. So sign up now, because there's thousands of people there. It's a fun event. And you like being a part of the crowd, right? You would rather go and see thousands of people there than be the only tiny team, right?
Correct.
You would rather go and see 1,000 people at ALS Express and have 10 people on your team than have 30 people on your team, 100 people on your team, and that's it.
Exactly, yeah. We like to see every event grow more and more, because there's more great, ever since the Ice Bucket Challenge, there's great awareness now about ALS. You see more on TV, ESPN, when the NFL, the Super Bowl, there's all kind of things now that bring out people who former athletes that have ALS. And there's also other great people that aren't athletes that have ALS. So, you know, you got to be aware of that also. You know, you only see the athletes on TV, but there are thousands of people who aren't athletes, who aren't famous people, that also struggle with ALS.
Well, you're a bit of an athlete yourself. You're
I don't know if I'm an athlete, but...
You're involved in athletics as a basketball
referee. Correct, yes.
And you've been doing that for quite a while.
38 years, yeah. I just completed my 38th year of refereeing basketball, yes.
Which is awesome in itself, right? And you get to experience a lot of kids. And one thing we were talking about before we started this podcast is you went to the 4-on-4 for a Cure event in Plymouth Meeting
middle school, yes.
In Pennsylvania. That's a basketball tournament at the middle school that raises over $10,000 with the kids there, mm-hmm. which is really cool. So what's that like, seeing people who are involved in sports supporting this cause, and then young people getting involved too?
That's a great day. I go there one day, and it's my easiest refereeing job I have. I throw the ball up, and that's it to start the day. But to see those kids who really don't have a clue about ALS, because you ask them, what do you know about ALS? And some of them know, because you know, they all have iPhones now, mm-hmm. or you know, smartphones. They all can look all that stuff up. But to see all those kids, and they run for 2 weeks, and they're there, they cheer, and they have kids from the high school, the former middle school students come back, and they help run the event. The fellow who runs it, Matt, has a great support group of students there to run it, parents and teachers. I mean, it's a great event. They fill the gymnasium, all four bleachers, mm. with parents, students, former students, people from the ALS Association show up. They get to meet an ALS patient, me, which they normally wouldn't do. The fanatic comes there one day. He shows up, from what I understand. So it's a great time.
It's really neat. I mean, I've gone a couple times and seen the kids that organize it, and they spend the whole school year organizing it.
Yeah. They do.
And it's not at the scale of what the Phillies do, obviously, but it's just like them, that they spend a long time planning, marketing, getting the materials out. And it's similar to you guys raising money for your ride and walk teams. Mm-hmm. And you don't just do it overnight, like, hey, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. So start the planning early if you can.
I think it's an all-year plan for him. He plans all year. And I think his grandfather passed away with ALS.
He has family connections.
Yeah, family connections.
He's been supporting research just like you guys have. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the kids now know more about it because they all have smartphones. I didn't have a smartphone when I was in middle school.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have any phone.
Neither did I. I mean, when I was in middle school, it was the phone that was on the wall of the kitchen. So the kids have a lot of access to information, as do their parents and adults. So you've been doing this for 10 years now. Do you feel like there's a lot more awareness and understanding, even beyond the Ice Bucket Challenge?
I think there is, If you watch the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, you and I talked, Tony, a lot about Steve Gleason with the awareness of ALS and how he's brought the disease to the TV network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him, and there's other athletes that have it. You know, it's just – and more and more they're finding out there's professional football players that now have it. Do they think it's from the collisions and all? I don't know. Is it a good thing for us as patients? Probably that it's out there.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing that those guys are getting ALS.
Right.
And more people from the service now, from Desert Storm and all back then, they're finding out they have a higher percentage of getting ALS too now, which is a shame. You know, they're out there defending our country, and now they come back and get this, this tough disease.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
So when you see those people that are raising awareness, like Steve Gleason and O.J. Brigance from the Ravens, who has ALS, does that motivate you further? Like, because to me, I identify with Steve. Obviously, he's a lot better athlete than me, because I played football for like a few weeks in middle school, flag football. But he's a father of a young kid, just like mm-hmm. myself.
Yeah, and two. You have father two, I think, right? I think it's two now, is it? Maybe
I
just
think
one.
It's just the one. Okay. But either way,
whatever, either one. Yeah,
got a young kid, and so I identify with that. Does that just kind of energize you even more? Because it does for me.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, if I'm at the gym on the treadmill or something, and stuff comes on, you get chills in your body when they talk about it. And he comes on, and he's been a good advocate for ALS. You know, he's put it out there. He's met with senators and congressmen all about it, and he's trying to get more funds for ALS. He's put it out there for everybody. Yeah. And, I mean, you read about the fellow from the Ravens. I mean, he still goes to work every day. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, it makes it hard to be lazy. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Yeah, like the example is the year we did the bike ride in the rain, and Sue goes, "Why are you riding?" I said, "Because there's people that can't ride, so that's why I'm going to ride today."
So we
rode in the pouring rain, and I'll tell you, most of my team all got on their bike and rode, and it was pouring when we started. Pouring when it started, but not many of them said no. They all got on and rode.
That's the reason we feel grateful to all of our riders for riding for those who can't. Now, speaking of Steve Gleason, though, and you're going to D.C. this year for the first time for advocacy, we're actually going to advocate for the Steve Gleason Act. It's the first time we've gone to D.C. that there's an act named for somebody with ALS.
Wow. Mm.
But we're working on speech generating devices, which is something he's very passionate about, making sure people can communicate. And so you'll be able to have a voice for people like him again, just like you're writing for people who can't write, but speaking for people who can't speak. And we encourage everyone to learn how they can get involved with advocacy and make their voice there. All right. So what are you looking forward to with advocacy this year? Because you've done stuff on the state level, I know, because I've been there with you. And have you had good responses when you met with people before?
Yeah, we think we've had good response in Trenton, because I think now on our state income tax in New Jersey now, there's a thing you can donate to the ALIS Association.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was never there. It was because you made connections and appointments for us, and we met with people, and there was a connection with a fellow from Riverside, New Jersey, and with one of this, I don't know, the state senator or whatever,
assemblyman. Like, and, yeah, a few assemblymen. Troy
assemblyman
Singleton,
and assemblywoman, right?
Pam Lampitt, yep. Dan Benson, and the people from the Greater New York chapter, Senator O'Toole. You know, it's nice to have one thing that is good about ALS, and it's not to say there's anything good about it, is that there's not a pro-ALS group out there. You know, it's one of those political issues where there might be some talk about, well, how much or how do we do it, but there's not some group lobbying against supporting people with ALS.
And we all hear from every time we go there, we know our budgets are tight, but we're going to do the best we can. So they're all working that way. And I know Pennsylvania has had, in the previous years, has a lot of money donated.
So we need to do all we can here in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be involved all year round, right? It's not just one day.
Correct.
Because you've gone to a few things in Trenton, spoken at budget hearings.
Yes.
And it sounds daunting sometimes speaking to a legislator, but just like donating, asking people for money from a friend, all you have to do is ask, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The budget committee is probably the hardest one I did, because they put a little timer on the side and you get till that thing runs out.
Yeah.
But it's you almost want to tell them turn it off, because I have a real good story to tell you don't know much about. But
well, that's our job, is to make sure they hear that story.
Yeah.
And you guys are doing a lot to make sure that story gets heard. So what are you guys looking forward to this year? We already did hot chocolate, and you guys had a fun time at hot chocolate, right?
Always have a fun at the hot chocolate.
It's an awesome event.
Did you guys, your daughter came to, did you do any of the auction items?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anything good?
Well, we bid on a bed and breakfast. So we won that. So we plan on doing that sometime in the future.
Our daughter likes the bid on the Hershey Hotel event they have there, a couple days at that. So and actually, she bid enough money to win that. So
that's terrific.
Yeah.
So. Well, and it's always delicious.
Oh yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's a great event. They have a ton of vendors that come in and donate all their services and food and drinks and candy and tasty cakes and chocolate.
Mostly chocolate.
And they have a lot of donations of auction items that are great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a great event. It's funny. It's really grown too. It seems to be selling out every year now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you look outside, it's become a thing where people get limousines to come there now. And
I missed that part.
So yeah.
We saw them pulling up.
That's because you get there too early.
No.
And it's
here
funny.
Here I am by a busted down Ford Focus. Yeah. Am I going to take a limo?
And it's funny. It seems like, and I always joke with Sue, I said, look, it's girls' night out, because it's a limo and about five or six girls get out, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting, yeah.
So that's not you getting out with the five or six.
No. We see people.
We see them. We drive. We drive ourselves there,
I'll have to make sure to look for that next time.
But it's interesting how that's become an event for people who do stuff like that. They just get a limo to come because there's alcoholic beverages served there, so they can drink and get a limo home. It's pretty neat.
Well, just like ALS Express then with hot chocolate, the events are fun even if you don't have a connection to ALS.
Right.
Yeah, and there's a ton of people that come to the hot chocolate event have no association with ALS, and we hope that when they leave they do.
Yeah.
You know, they hope they meet people who or get to listen to somebody who speaks that has ALS.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see all different levels of patients at the hot chocolate event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you did that in March. We're in April now, and you're doing this, so this will count as something. And then May is
the bike ride.
In Washington.
And Washington. Yeah. So are there anything else you're looking forward to doing with the ALS cause, or even – you guys can do other things outside of there too, but anything else you're looking forward to doing this year?
Well, on April 22nd is ALS night at the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
So a portion of the tickets go to the ALS Association Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And it's also in like the Phillies recognize their sponsors for the Phillies Festival, for the ALS Phillies Festival. And I have a good friend of mine who's a vice president of New Era Hats, so I've been invited to be their guest to go to this. It's a dinner. I actually contacted the association, and I'm going to escort the New Era team on the field. So I'll be on the field on April 22nd when they honor all these sponsors for the ALS festival. So, and then from there we get to eat, and then we get to go to one of the super boxes. So it's going to be an exciting night for me. And I'm lucky I have a friend that's in that position, and he emailed me the other day and said, "I'd love to take you." And it was no brainer. I'm going. Mm-hmm. On April 20th, I'm speaking in Haverford College because they do a fundraiser from a former member of their track team that died from ALS. And I spoke there last year. I'm speaking again this year and I'm kind of honored because my co-speaker is Dr. McCluskey, who's the neurologist that heads the ALS clinic at Pennsylvania Hospital. So I'm kind of honored he's going to speak with me.
Yeah. You know. Well, you can upstage him a little bit.
Hopefully, yeah. So they do a 5K run on Saturday in memory of this fella, and they raise, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 in one day or a little more. It's a great time. It's put on by their strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah, Corey Waltz is guy there. And that's pretty neat that people set up their own events.
Yes.
Do you guys do any events to fundraise for your teams at all? Like local dinners or
we
anything?
We have not, no. We've talked about
you've obviously attended a few in the past.
Exactly, we've attended a few. We know about the Billy Lake Memorial Basketball Tournament. I've always wanted to ref there, but I never can seem to get – I can't coordinate with my time, unfortunately. Yeah.
It's in the height of basketball season.
Right? Yeah, it's right before – it's either when I'm starting or right before I start. I just can't seem to get there. So.
Well, in this year's Billy Lake Basketball, their Beef and Beer was a March Madness event. They had that, and they ended up raising $16,000 of their Beef and Beer.
Nice.
So that's just a note out there for anyone. There's a lot of ways you can raise money, whether it's at the ALS Express or a walk or signing up your own event, like a 3K, 5K, or a Beef and Beer. They all add up throughout the year.
And
Barry apparently will come to all of your events, no matter what you do.
I try if you can. I actually play in the ALS golf outing almost every year. We didn't play this year, but I have a friend of mine that sponsors a foursome, so he's a great golfer, and I join him, and I'm a lousy golfer, but we have a great time at that event.
Well, hopefully we'll see you at the golf outing this year.
We're hoping, We think we'll be there again. Yeah. This year we just couldn't get it coordinated. But
this past year's golf outing sold out so much that they added another course. So, all of our events, ALS is becoming a very big thing. People are very aware of it. And some of our events sell out, like hot chocolate. So sign up early, get your fundraising on early.
And they sell out because they're fun. And it's rewarding for people to go there and just to support the association. But the events are fun. They're in great venues. Mm-hmm. You know, our venue riding the bike through South Jersey is a great experience to ride because you actually get into some good farm country down there when you do the 75 and 50-mile ride. So it's nice.
So if you want to go on a fun bike ride and you want to hang out at a great place like Maurice Piers, and you're going to spend the money anyway and spend the time, why not – do it through the ALS Association. Mm-hmm. Register a team at www.als-express.org or go to alsphiladelphia.org. And then for the other events, if you're going to golf anyway and you're going to spend the money golfing, get involved with our golf outing in the fall. If you're going to eat chocolate and go out on a date, go to hot chocolate anyway. There's a lot of things you can do that are fun beyond the ALS cause, and you're helping other people along the way. So, Barry and Sue, thanks for joining us and sharing your voices.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
And we look forward to seeing you almost every day, it seems, in the next 2 weeks, both at Advocacy and at ALS Express. Again, like I said, you can learn more at www.alsphiladelphia.org. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest at ALS Philadelphia. I'm Tony Heil, the Communication Director of the Greater Philadelphia Chapter, and we look forward to sharing more stories with everyone involved with the ALS cause in the weeks and months to come. Thank you.